IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We have been on the road this week to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We're here celebrating Richard's big birthday. Do you want to admit how old you are?
It's a big birthday, though. And some of you listeners know that we do it. We do a big family trip every 5 years. Well, we started it 10 years ago, right?
So this is the third.
This is the third. And we first went to Bali because that's our favorite place in the world. And then we went to the Dominican Republic. And here we are in Jackson, Wyoming, which of these is not like the others, right? But it's because we have quite a history here. We used to have a little condo here in Jackson, and we would come up. But before we get any further, we have a special guest today, and Linda will now introduce her.
We've been here with most of our children. Only two in-laws couldn't make it, but they've all gone, and we're here with the one that helped us create this with food and organization, our oldest daughter, Saren Loosley, who we appreciate so much. Wow, we couldn't have raised our kids without Saren.
I think you could have.
When people say, how in the world did you handle nine children? We say, well, we just arranged it so the first one kind of took care of the other eight.
It was a group effort. Let's just say that.
It was, but we were so grateful for her.
So lean in a little so the computer will pick us up and let's get started. We thought we'd chat a little about Jackson, and then we're going to ask Saren to update us and you on what she's doing lately. She's off on some new ventures that are really old ventures because she has worked most of her professional life in one way or another on things that help families. But we'll kind of start at the beginning. But any more you want to say, Linda, about Jackson and why we're here? We have a lot of really funny little traditions, like every time we would come around the bend in Star Valley, we would play.
Not Star Valley, honey.
As you come through Star Valley, and then when you suddenly see the Grand Tetons,
the Jackson,
we would play Jupiter from the Planets. Da 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 da.
We're funny, but Tal was with us. He flew in from Switzerland. We had two who came from Italy. They were just there with some friends. And we have two that came from Maui. So we had really a great group of people, but they do all love that particular song when they see the Tetons.
You've trained us well. We all have certain music that goes with certain places, which is awesome. It's really fun to have those kinds of connections to a place.
I do have to say it is the most gorgeous time of the year in Jackson.
It is
so breathtaking. Everywhere you look is just gorgeous. So except for there were two fires. So a lot of the valley was full of smoke for a few days, but that gave an extra little eerie look.
It made it feel like we were in a dream.
It's beautiful.
Typical of the IR realm mentality, we kept saying, isn't it great that it's a little bit smoky because it makes everything sort of ethereal and beautiful? And then when the Tetons did pop out, wow, we appreciated them that much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Saren, let's start a little back a ways. Tell our listeners, some of them, we run into people every once in a while that listen to IRS on the Road every week, and it shocks us how much they know about our family. So there are a lot of people out there that know about Saren Paige Iyer Loosley, our eldest daughter. But go back to your education and kind of give us an update as to how you gravitated to so many things you've done in your life aimed at helping children and families.
Well, let's see. I went to Wellesley College, and they did not have a family studies major, and I kind of gravitated myself towards a lot of sociology with a lot of focus on families and really enjoyed studying a lot of that. And then I went to Harvard, did my master's in education, and had a chance to really focus in on education and with a focus on family involvement in education. It was always kind of back to how do we help families do what they're trying to do better.
And then just to make sure that you were really educated, You went ahead and had five children in less than 5 years.
That is where the true, as anyone knows, you don't actually know much at all about parenting until you just get it all slapped in your face. And then you figure it out as you go along.
Oh my gosh, this poor girl. They were in California at the time and San Jose, and they had, how old was Ashton?
Ashton turned five right before our fourth and fifth children, our twins, were born.
Yeah. So,
that five, was 5 in 5 years.
3 and a half, two, and twins.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy.
That was a party. Let me just say, five preschoolers, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to anyone, but very educational. And I certainly learned a ton and had a lot of fun in between the times where we were not having any fun at all. And we definitely learned a lot. And then we had five teenagers is a whole nother ball game too, let me tell you.
Right.
I tell you, remember those days when Saren's family was young and we were on the road so much and speaking to parents, and I can't tell you how many times someone would come up and say, but you just don't remember how hard it is because I've got three little children and they're just driving me crazy. And the oldest one's only eight or something. And we'd say, hey, we have a daughter who has five under five.
It's not a competition. It's all hard in its own way.
That's right.
It definitely has been an eye-opening and educating experience with these kids.
That's one of the times that my respect for your good husband, Jared, just skyrocketed, because didn't he take like almost a year off basically and helped you at home? I mean, he was home a lot.
He was actually traveling to Singapore a lot.
I'm
glad you have that rosy memory.
How did I give him credit for that?
Well, he was extremely helpful when he was home, and he was just the best dad and very hands-on. So no way could I have done it without him, but I appreciated him all the more when he would come back from Singapore. Let's just say that.
So going on from there, Saren, you have this fabulous education, you have this interest in helping families, but you've got five little kids at home. How did you manage to begin to do, I think, something called Power of Moms, first of all?
Yeah, I worked with a friend, April Perry, and we really got this exciting new organization off the ground back when websites were kind of new and exciting. And Power of Moms became a real focus. It seemed like a crazy thing to spend basically all of my kids' nap time and all of my time when they went to bed at night working on a website for moms. But I realized I needed it so much. I just needed that connection with other moms, and I knew other moms needed it also. So it just made sense to do that, even though it was a little bit crazy. And then we started doing retreats where we would bring moms together. And a lot of them at you guys' house. You guys were so kind to host there in Park City. And it just was magical to bring moms together and just talk about what we were going through and share ideas and you know, really help support each other. So lots of online stuff, but also a lot of in-person stuff. We had a chance to do retreats all across the United States. We even went to Australia and did a few retreats. Just a lot of really cool opportunities to connect with other mothers. And, you know, everyone's so different in motherhood, but I really needed that outside connection to other people to kind of feel sane. So even though it made my life busier and crazier, it also made my life better in a lot of ways. So I was super involved in that for quite a few years. And then we morphed it into Power of Families, which, of course, we just realized we wanted to involve the dads when it came to talking about family systems and so many issues. Like, it's not just about the moms, it's about the dads too. So I've been running this Power of Families website for, I don't know, maybe 15 years now.
We're really going to get into that. But I feel like with us, honey, when Linda and I were writing parenting books, Hot and Heavy, we're not anymore, by the way, we're writing grandparenting books, but we always felt like we did our best writing when we were right in the throes of our own parenting. I mean, it wasn't looking back and thinking of past things. It was when we were in the arena, as you like to say, Saren, that we did our best writing, because we're writing about what is happening to us. And I think there's something wonderful when what you're writing or what you're working on is a perfect mirror of what you're doing personally in your life.
Yeah, I'm so grateful because at one point I was so frustrated. I was home with four or five, maybe six little kids. And
some number of
probably
kids.
Six. And we were living in Washington, D.C. And I was learning so much, but I was so frustrated. I have to write this down because I cannot recreate this when is. So,
and writing is the best therapy.
Writing is the best therapy.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Right. So you gave me Wednesdays. You remember that? You had a flexible job and you could stay home with the kids on Wednesdays. So I went out in the old gray van and parked by a beautiful park and sat in the van and wrote all day. I didn't plan to be a witch because that was exactly what I felt like at that time. And I just think it really is important. And usually we just don't have time to write it down. It just kind of comes and goes. And now I can hardly remember that. You can probably remember me being a witch, but I don't remember.
Oh, everyone has their moments, right? You were pretty darn non-witchy most of the time.
Well, we had by that time in our family just really, you know, we'd been on our mission to London. We'd come home, we'd sort of sold or given up our consulting company, and we were writing full time. And Saren, our eldest, and Shawnee, our next, were really, you know, pressed into service, really helping with all the younger kids and so on, but also becoming really, really involved in terms of their own thinking as to what families could be and should be. And I want to say this, Saren, I felt like from the very first with Power of Moms, even though you have an educational background at Harvard and educational theory and so on, you were always aiming at things that were eminently practical. In other words, systems that'll work in your family or best practices that seem to help families irrespective of where they are and what they're doing. I mean, you were always looking for hands-on sort of workable ideas. Is that fair to say?
Oh, totally. I mean, I know for myself as a very busy mom, the last thing I want is theoretical information. Yeah. I just need to know, how can I apply this today? So that's always been a big focus on Power of Families, is short posts with challenges at the end of each one saying, here's something, you know, you can do about this. And also a lot of commenting and just really great to build a community and talk about it in real time, in real life. And of course, in our retreats, it's all about talking about everything.
And so that helped Linda and I to realize that the world was changing. I mean, our approach a generation before, let's write a book about this aspect of parenting and let's hope parents will go in the bookstore and buy it and read it and apply it. And as you came along and began to do things, you understood that parents of your generation, and even more so now, they need to have something bite-size, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I was doing it, it was short blog posts that would be really helpful for everyone. Now it's like, what can you fit on a little screen on Instagram? What little quick bite of information can you give people? It's just, we've gotten a little spoiled in our world. We like to just get it now, get it quick, and get it done.
Got it. Uh-huh. I'm going to do it.
So it's been interesting to watch things really change since starting the website to today, where we need to be even shorter. And also, of course, moving to podcasts like this one. You know, we have Power of Families Radio that I ran for a lot of years and it's still going. And then we've got In the Arena, of course, with my sisters that I know these guys have talked about. So podcasting, people want to do it while they're doing other things. You can just listen to stuff while you clean your kitchen and while you do your laundry whatever and go on your walk. And that's another change that's really
well. Happened. And we hope that everyone that listens to this podcast of ours on the road, because we've mentioned it so many times, we hope you also listen to In the Arena with the Iyer sisters, because that's all four of our daughters. And that's where you get the real stuff. That's where you find out what really happened in the Iyer family, rather than just the sugar-coated stuff.
Second generation now. We have to take a break, but when we come back, Saren has gone a little different way now. She's had a job for a while, and you can explain a little bit about that.
AmeriCorps.
It's a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's doing something a little different. So hang on.
We're going to devote the next half of the second half of the show to getting you up to date on how you can tap in to what Saren Page-Iyer loosely is doing today.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back talking with our oldest daughter, Saren, whom we adore. And also her children are so magnificent. And she could spend the rest of the program talking about them. They're so fun. Everyone's so unique. But anyway, let's go on.
Let's just let you go for a bit here, Saren, and just tell, there's a lot of moms listening. There's a lot of parents listening in general. And just what can they do if they want to tap into what you're currently doing? And what are the ways to access your latest thinking on families and parenting?
Okay. Well, as my mom mentioned, I did work at United Way running an AmeriCorps program for 5 years, working with families in low-income communities and throughout Northern Utah, United Way of Northern Utah. And that was so interesting to be able to put some of my, work with my master's in education into work and bring back some of the things that I did before I was married, as far as working with schools and bringing families into schools and trying to help families be more involved in schools and communities be more involved in schools. So that was kind of a going back to something that I loved for 5 years, but I kept Power of Families going throughout that time also.
That was working in an institute. You were working on the same things, but in a more institutionalized quasi-government system where you had resources you could use and reach out to everyone from new moms to,
Working with, we had a welcome baby program that would totally help moms with little babies and learning more about parenting and getting support, and getting diapers and you name it. Then we had a wonderful preschool program a playgroups program where moms and their kids could come and build community. And so, it was just really cool to be involved in stuff that was very much on the ground in my community and, having that support of a larger institution, which I really enjoyed. But throughout the last, year or so that I was working there, I was there for 5 years, I just was feeling a stronger and stronger pull to get back to more work on Power of Families. It was really hard to keep Power of Families going kind of in the background while I was very consumed with building these programs. So once I had directors in place to run the three programs for children and families there at United Way, I felt like it was the right time to step back into working more full-time with Power of Families.
And you're just now, this is current. This is now you're moving back in.
This is since, the beginning of the year.
As you talk about Power of Families, I've never asked you this, and I've always been curious. The word power, that's really interesting to me that you named it Power of Moms, Power of Families. Was there anything we should know about why you chose that particular word?
Well, for sure. Well, I have to give credit to April Perry, who is my partner when we started Power of Moms. But I love that concept that power is what it's all about. There's so much powerful goodness and powerful challengingness when it comes to parenting. So, when we were trying to think, what do we call this? And there's so many options. I think that's really what we arrived at was this idea that it's the powerful nature of parenting and motherhood that we want to keep an eye on and that we want to keep reminding ourselves of and help others remind themselves of it too. It's not just the mundane getting through the day, dealing with the diaper blowout and then the tantrum and then the this and then the whatever teenager blowout and whatever else that happens.
Well,
it's not just that, right?
Moms need to feel empowered, right?
Right.
So many parents in general feel like they have so little power. And you can read cliches like the hand that rocks the cradle
rules the world
and so on. But the practical empowerment of moms particularly, to understand the importance of what they're doing and to feel that they have the capacity to do it. They have the help. They have the support, right?
Exactly. And of course, the power of families is expansive because it as our family has gotten bigger, we're up to about 88 or something. I mean, 58.
58. Like, don't get ahead of yourself.
Like, where'd the other 30 people come from? I want to meet
monks
them.
Monks projecting to the next generation.
There's so much power in that when they have this seed inside of themselves thing. I know this is important.
Well, and in the midst of the mundane and the hard stuff and the muck that's part of all parenting journeys, it's just nice to keep your eye on the fact that you're doing something so powerful and so beautiful. And that, you know, it's okay. Sometimes it's just hard and it's not very fun. But when we can step back and think a little bit more about things, we can see the beauty in it and we can see the potential in ourselves, how much we grow through parenthood, as well as how much we're helping our kids to learn and grow as they progress through life. So I think it's a lot of that, you know, that concept of the powerfulness of parenthood, both for the kids, for society, and for us as individuals, that kind of led me to coaching. I did a coaching certification program, realizing that some of my most favorite things I was doing with Power of Families was working individually with people who, you know, had specific questions and had, you know, like they could read all the great stuff on the website, participate in the programs we have on the website, set up their family systems, do all this. But they have this one child who's just is driving them insane. And it's a really specific situation. And they would like to talk to someone about that. Or they're really struggling with their relationship with another child because they used to be so close, but now they're a teenager and they just don't talk anymore. And how do they deal with that? And people who just are in the midst of all kinds of things, from just having gone through a divorce to having kids changing stages and ages to all the kids being out of the home. And you have to completely revamp who you are as a person and what you want to do with your time and how you want to contribute to the world now that your kids are not a full-time job all the time. Yeah. Although I have to say, empty nest parenting, the kids are still a pretty full-time job. Yeah. They need something all the time. And I'm thinking about them all the time. It's much more emotional and mental than it is physical, but it's still very present. So I'll just say that part. Anyway, so I did this coaching certification. And
by the way, let me just say, I'm smiling at Mom while you're talking because countless times when we're out speaking, people, well, do you do individual coaching? And we're like, sorry, we don't. We're just, we can't. We're too busy. Mm-hmm. We're traveling too much and so on. But I think we always recognize that the problem with writing a book on parenting or giving a speech on parenting is you're, by definition, you're generalizing because
you have to.
You have to. And so when you started doing some private coaching, I'm like, okay, where were you 20 years ago? We could have just said, no, we don't, but we'll get you an appointment with our daughter.
Well, back in those days, the thought of finding a spare few moments in a quiet place to talk to someone was not really a realistic possibility.
Yeah, exactly. And life has changed. There's so much with the internet.
Well, Zoom is just amazing. I do all my coaching on Zoom.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Got a client in Germany and one in England and all across the United States. And it's just really cool that I can sit down with someone and it just can be so personal and so engaging. And we can have this very deep conversation and it doesn't matter where they are.
And it's private.
And it's totally private.
One-on-one. I think it sounds so exciting. I sure wish I'd had somebody at some point in my life. Like, I just need to talk to somebody. I needed somebody to tell me what to do here because
that's definitely not my job, though, to just make sure you understand.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm
right. Exactly.
Listen, right. Exactly. And I mean, there's a big difference, of course. Listeners probably know this, but just to be sure, the difference between therapy and coaching is huge. My sister Sadie is an amazing therapist, and it's a whole different training and a whole different approach.
That's interesting.
And it's really important to have therapy. I think the best case scenario is people have both. They have therapy, which is going to give them a chance to deal with deep-seated problems and kind of do long-term approaches and figure out, you know, what happened in my childhood and what happens deep inside me that's maybe causing some of these issues that I'm having. And someone like Sadie would be perfect for that, right?
Right.
But coaching is more about let's look at the issue we're dealing with right here today, and let's, you know, certainly dig into it. You can't just jump in and throw a Band-Aid on it. We'll dig into it, not as deep as you would with therapy, but then we move into action plans. And that's the big thing about coaching, is every time we have a coaching session, we end with a specific action plan that we're going to follow up on the next week.
That's interesting.
That's the follow-up.
That's kind of the big thing, is the follow-up. Whereas therapy is just a lot of talking to get through it, which is extremely helpful. But if you're ready, if some person's really ready to move forward, like I've been to coaching myself, and it's extremely helpful to have someone who's kind of your accountability partner, who's going to help you figure out the specific next steps to solving some of the issues that you're dealing with.
Okay.
So, you know, an example of next steps might be if someone's dealing with their teenage daughter who is just really pulling away from them. Okay, we're going to talk through it. I'm going to ask a whole lot of questions. And then basically they're going to come
they're
up
gonna
with their
discover
own thing.
Her. Yeah,
they're going to be like, you know, I should do such and such. I should really talk with her. And then we'll talk about like, okay, how might that look? And what might be some good questions that you could approach? And oh, maybe you'd want to take her out for her favorite treat and make it special and separate from everyday life. Instead of just dealing with every time the daughter does such and such, you're just going to have a quick and explosive and ungood conversation about the behavior rather than, you know, being more proactive. So a lot of my coaching is about being proactive with our parenting. Thanks to you guys, the ultimate proactive parents, stepping back from things and realizing what is really happening here and how can we actually take one step at a time to move things forward.
That's
with
so
the
great.
Situation.
So I'm picturing in my mind right now, Sarah, two types of listeners on the podcast out there. And one's a mom who just, okay, I want to get into this. Where do I go? What are my access? What's the website? How do I find Sarah? And I'm also picturing a grandparent who's, oh, my daughter needs this. How do I get this information for my daughter? So in the last 4 or 5 minutes, give the information. Where do people go and what are their options?
And then we'll put it in the show notes.
That'd
be great. Yeah. So Power of Families, that's where I host all of this. There's all kinds of programs there. There's all kinds of posts there. There's all the things that's always been there. There's now, in addition, this life coaching opportunity.
Powerofamilies.com.
Powerofamilies.com.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you go there, you'll see up in the top right corner says programs. Click on programs. And one of the programs you will see is coaching. And some people sign up for individual coaching, which is just, you can do it once a week. You can do it every 2 weeks, whatever works for you. And we set that up. There's an appointment calendar. It's really simple. We do it based on what works for you and what works for me. And it can be, it's generally ongoing. The smallest amount of coaching sessions you can set up is 4, but most people find best, you know, they're going to have the best result if they do at least 10 sessions, because then you can really move things forward. We're barely getting to the tip of the iceberg with 4 sessions, but at least we can do something.
I'll bet you have people who sign up for 4 and then they're like, wait a minute, I need 4 more. And then I need 4 more.
Are some coaches that won't do less than 10.
Right.
But I know, you know, if people want to get to know me and everything, we can start with. And I do have an intro session option, so we can just kind of get to know each other with one intro session, and then you're not locked into anything. Yeah. You can see if it works, because, you know, you have to see if it works, right? Yeah. Before you jump in.
If people want to be in a group, if they're more comfortable in a group session, you do that too, right?
I do that also. We have a monthly membership for our family group coaching. And that is really fun. Every Monday we get together at noon online. Right now we have a small group because I just launched this, and we talk about a certain topic. The group members get to choose. I give them kind of a menu of things, and we decide what we want to talk about. In the close of each session, we can choose what do we want to talk about next time. So every Monday we're talking, and people are setting their own action plans based around the topic. We just talked about love languages of children this week. Mm-hmm. Last week we talked about specific daily practices for building relationships with our kids. The week before, we talked about some more global practices for relationships, because the group has been really into talking about how do we build relationships with our individual kids. So in each of our group coaching calls, I will spend a few minutes, you know, sometimes it's about half of our time together, giving some presentation around some principles. And then we dig into questions and answers, We do some group coaching. If people want to be a guinea pig and jump up and get coached on something in front of everyone else, they can.
Oh, interesting.
And we also end by choosing action items, and then people can report back on their action items. So sometimes we're really motivated by being part of a group. In addition to being getting those group calls every Monday, everyone in the coaching group gets once a month an individual session for an hour.
Oh, they're in the group, but they can have the individual.
They also have the individual session. And if they want more than one a month, then it's okay. They can sign up, you know, for an additional amount. But included in their membership fee, they get those weekly meetings, plus they get that chance to have an individual session with me that includes a chance to talk through everything. And then I always send a follow-up email and kind of check in with them, see how things are going, so that they kind of have a
guided. That's fabulous.
I'm sitting here watching. It's beautiful outside. We're in Jackson, and I'm watching my wife and my daughter. I'm watching my daughter talking. I'm watching my wife look at her like, wow, we've got quite a gal here. you want to wrap it up, honey, and ask any final questions?
I'd just like to say thanks to Saren for being with us today and for doing this, for being committed to this. Since you left our house, you've been committed to families and working with them and making it better. And we appreciate that.
Even to keeping some of our old stuff alive, which is pretty great.
Right, right.
When we're gone, Saren will be here.
Well, you guys gave me all the stuff, so I'm just taking the ball and running with it.
Well, right? You're great. So thank you so much for joining us, Saren. And we are literally going to be on the road now. And so we're going to sign off. Thank you so much.
Houroffamilies.com. Go and look at it right now before you forget.
Right. And thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on Hours on the Road. Bye-bye.